Everybody, Pastor Kevin, thanks for joining us today. I'm excited about this second part in our series, Encountering Jesus. We're talking about seeing Jesus and then seeing people. When we see Jesus more clearly, more and more clearly, the more clearly we see Jesus, everything in our world changes. And one of the things that changes is we start to see people differently. We start to see them with Jesus lenses and a Jesus heart. And we see those who know him, but we also see those who don't. And our heart begins to be drawn towards knowing, not just knowing Jesus more, but helping those people who don't know him be introduced to him. That's being on mission for Jesus. And so before I dive into the message, I want to pray for a couple of things. We have at River City here in person, we have a prayer wall going right now and some prayer cards that are on those walls. So I just picked two randomly off the board, but I think the prayer requests here could relate to some of you and maybe what you're leaning into for prayer. It's just so important that we pray for each other and lift up our needs to God, lift up the burdens and the challenges to God together. So here's the first one. The request is family healing and reconciliation. And so, Lord, we just lift up, join me if you would, we just lift up, you know this situation, you know this family, you know the healing that's needed, you know the reconciliation that's needed. God, would you come and infiltrate every member of that family that where there's brokenness or where there's division or where there's unforgiveness, Lord, would you come and bring healing, wholeness, restoration? And for those tuning in and listening, if that's their request as well, Lord, that's not an uncommon challenge. Lord, we pray for that to happen. Lord, stir the faith of those listening right now. We come into agreement together in Jesus' name. And also, I want to lift up There's broken relationships with children in this family. So it's a similar kind of request. So Lord, we agree together for this request just recently posted. And Lord, we're asking God, the parent is requesting, there's a broken relationship with children involved. And Lord, we're asking for reconciliation there as well. And so Lord, that theme is clear here. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, do what only you can do. Lord, start to give your perspective to not only the parents, but the children involved in this. And Lord, we're praying, Lord, for healing and wholeness and forgiveness. Lord, let humility flow, let your grace flow in the midst of the situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Thanks for praying with me on that. Let's dive into the message. Do you see yourself, you know, on a normal Tuesday as someone who's on mission? As someone who's on mission for Jesus, on a normal Tuesday, do you see, or a normal Wednesday, or is it only on Sundays that you go, I'm on mission for Jesus today? Of course not. I hope you don't, but maybe you do. Maybe you go, I don't even know if I'm on mission. What do you mean by that? We're going to dive into that today because it's a perspective, because here's what I'm convinced of, that mission doesn't start with boldness, that it's not about being an introvert or being an extrovert. It's not about your personality type or your Enneagram number or your, where are you on the DISC personality. It's not about any of that. It doesn't even start with the right words or even a confidence in sharing the gospel. Mission starts with an encounter. Mission starts with an encounter with Jesus. And when you, last week we looked at John 3 and Nicodemus's conversation with Jesus and how Jesus, you know, was clearly talking to this elite religious man, a Pharisee of Pharisees, a great teacher of, he knew the law. He was dotting everything. Like he had it all checked off. The checklist was clear and fulfilled. But Jesus confronts him with the reality that this isn't about all the physical things we do. This is about an encounter with the living God in a way where when we surrender our lives to Christ, when we receive his grace gift, the gift that he's accomplished by faith on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection, we become born again. We're not just not physically born again. You got to be physically born, but then spiritually reborn. Because our spirit, when we're born into this world, is dead. And we need the encounter with Jesus and him to come in and make our spirit alive. And so mission starts with that moment. It starts there because we encounter Jesus and we receive Jesus and we get empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus then begins to open our eyes to not only how he's transformed us and is transforming us, he's growing us and maturing us. Part of that growing and maturing is there begins to be a growing urgency towards the mission of which Jesus has called us to. That is part of the born-again experience. Part of our born-again experience is our identity in Christ, is that we realize, oh, wait a minute, we are sent people. We are people on mission, right? And 2 Corinthians 5:20, it'll be on the screen for you, says, so we are Christ's ambassadors, and God is making his appeal through you, through me. As if you're a believer in Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, a follower of Christ, he is making his appeal through you and through me. And that, what is that piece? We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That's the rest of the scripture. So let me read it again. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Come home. You're far from home. Come back home. Yeah, it's an awesome privilege. I just want you to let that sink in. You and I, Christ, God is making his appeal through us. And that's incredible. That was his idea. That was his design. It's his joy to make the appeal through us. He's calling people home through us. And here's the line I want you to carry today, is that seeing Jesus clearly leads us to seeing people differently. Seeing Jesus clearly leads us to see people differently. And that different isn't just any regular old kind of different. It's Jesus clarity. It's seeing Jesus like, seeing Jesus first, but then seeing others like Jesus sees them. And that is huge. And so this is really the thrust of the message today, because it's God's purpose and intent for us to be on mission for him. And so that's that first next thought there, is that it's about God's timing and God's mission. Think about this. God, about his timing and his mission. God has placed you and I in a specific family, in a specific neighborhood, in a specific community, in a specific country, at a specific time in history and place in history. And that's not a mistake. That is not a mistake. You are not listening to this by mistake. You are not on this planet by mistake. You are on mission, on purpose for him. You're on purpose for him in this time in history. And so you can't escape it. You can't hide from it. You can try. But I just want to say, embrace the moment, embrace the space, embrace the place. And Jesus says it this way in Matthew 4:19. He said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Let's leave that on the screen. This is a great short verse for the definition of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, or what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. It says, follow me, right? So follow me, meaning when you are with Jesus, be with Jesus. When you're with Jesus, when you're spending time with Jesus, when you're letting him shape and think who you're paying attention to him all the time, follow him. Then it says, I will make you. I will make you. I will bring change in your life and transformation in your life, and I'll mature you and grow you, and you will become like Jesus. So you be with Jesus when you follow him. You're following him. You're being with him. And then he will make you. There's change that happens. You'll start to become more and more and more and more like Jesus. And then at the end of the verse says, well, I'll make you what? Fishers of men, fishers of people, fishers of those who don't yet know him. In other words, being on mission for Jesus. And so doing what Jesus does, that's what he does. So when you follow him, the order's important. You got to follow him and be with him. And as you do that, and you're spending time in his presence, and you're listening to his voice, and you're listening to his directives, and you're enjoying silence with him and just being with him and reading the word, change begins to, transformation begins to happen. And all of a sudden, it leads to this place where mission starts to flow. And mission is not something we manufacture. We don't work it up on our own. Being missional, we are called to be sent, but you can't just work it up. It should come out of an overflow of being with Jesus and walking closely with him. So Thus the title of the series, Encountering Jesus. When we encounter Jesus last week, it was for the first time when we become born again. But now, on a regular daily basis, when we are encountering Jesus, he's transforming us, he's changing us, and he's beginning to change our outlook and our view and our lenses. And all of a sudden, mission starts to flow out of that. Why is that? Because I put this on the screen, and it's good for you to see it. We, you and I, are God's plan A. We're God's plan A. He's getting his mission done to see the world saved, restored, full, is calling as many people home. That call happens through us, his people. You're his plan A. It's flawed and is imperfect. The church, us, is still learning. We are still Jesus' plan A. So let's look at this passage, how it just unpacks what it means to have a sent identity. Right? It's the heart of every healthy believer to see their part of God, they're God's plan A, and that we have a sent identity. Verses 1 and 2 of Luke 10. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples. It's in the chapter before this, in Luke chapter 9, that he sends out the 12. And then he now is going to the 72. He's sending them out intentionally. And look what he does. He says, I now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs, in twos, to all the towns and places he planned to visit. So he was sending them, Jesus was sending them ahead, and he says this, these were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. So the issue isn't that people aren't hungry. The issue is that many believers have stopped seeing the harvest. And what Jesus is saying to his disciples, the harvest is happening. The hunger is there. The people are ready, but we need more workers. So I'm sending you 72 out. Start bringing in the harvest. Start paying attention. And so because when we see Jesus clearly, it's always going to lead us to see people differently. So you don't want to be walking through the harvest field and not notice the harvest is ready. You want to notice when people are ready, right? So Jesus is sending them ahead. He's sending them by twos. He's sending them to places he plans to visit. Jesus, in the practical, in the historical text here, he's sending these disciples out to the places Jesus is about to go. Because he's wanting him to begin the conversation, to start the connection. And so he's doing the same thing today. He's already been some places, and he's already working, and he's got people ready to hear. And so he's sending us to connect with them, to help move them along on the journey. And so that's my second thought, is just to notice where God is moving. Notice where God is moving. He is implying it here. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. I need more of you to engage in the mission. I'm sorry, I know a lot of believers. I know a lot of believers that are not sharing their faith regularly, that are not discipling anyone, that aren't really praying for many people but themselves. Now, that just shows their maturity. It isn't necessarily about how long they've been a Christian, because you can be a Christian a long time and not be doing any of these things. You can be all about yourself, and you can be kind of woe is me about it. And I get seasons of challenges, all this, but part of the joy that people miss out on is the joy of being on mission for Jesus, realizing you're sent, realizing you're looking and noticing when people are ready to hear the good news of the gospel or what God's already doing, and you're there to encourage and kind of water that seed. And it's so fun. So notice what God is already doing. That means God's already working. That means he's already preparing hearts, that he's already stirring hunger. So wherever you go, remember, you and I carry his presence. And there's a confidence that's in God that he is already moving and already ahead of us. Pay attention, notice this, tune into his voice and listen. Just get your ear leaned in and tuned in. Ask God to adjust your eyes and the focus to see with some spiritual eyes and your spiritual antennas to go, God, what are you doing? Is this a seed moment? Is this a watering moment? Is this a lay out the whole gospel moment? Is just build a connection moment? What is this? Is this kind of a casual connection? Are you going to move it towards a more meaningful connection? What are you doing here, Lord? So have that posture of curiosity, those detective skills on, Holy Spirit detective skills. What are you doing here, God? What are you up to? Be present with God and with the other person and take note and pay attention. Sometimes they're subtle, but you got to listen, tune in. And if you have this posture, you will start to notice and see things God's already up to. And then you just kind of walk alongside what he's doing with people. I do it all the time. It is so fun. It's so wonderful. I just want to encourage you. It is the thing that will bring so much joy in your life. You get that benefit, but also you get the benefit of seeing people come to Christ on a regular basis and the benefit of discipling them on a regular basis. And you're partnering with God and other people to do it. It's awesome. Here's the next thought. This is from verses 3 and 4, but it's travel light and don't get distracted. Because there's temptation to get distracted, and there's temptations to, sometimes the distraction is in our planning and our preparation. Look at verses 3 and 4. Now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. See, let's leave that on the screen if you would. The historical context here is that in that culture, ceremonial greetings could take hours. Hours, and often lead to distraction, and often lead to gossip, and often lead to just sideways energy that was not necessary. Now, you might go, Kevin, is Jesus encouraging the people to not be friendly, to be jerks, to just... No. You got to, context here is he's trying to help the 72 that are going out and to us today to remember, don't lose focus on the mission. And there'll be all kinds of good things and all kinds of bad things, all kinds of what would appear to be, you know, neutral things that could distract you from the mission. Sometimes it's your family. Really, that's a great thing. You're supposed to invest in your family. But I know people who've sacrificed mission for family. And you might go, I'm pushing back on this. I think the opposite is more true. Many times for pastors, for instance, for myself, sometimes you can sacrifice family for mission in a way that's unhealthy. You know, you're sacrificing your family and you're not spending time with them because you're doing God's work. Right? That would be one of the challenges, the tensions that I have to manage all the time. Meeting with more people, sharing the good news with people, right? And so you go, but that's what I think Jesus is trying to get you to go, do an inventory. Look what it says. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of shoes, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. It seems like a really good recipe for bad relational connection and really unloving. Be careful how you read it. I think it's being, I think it's describing and helping us see that even a little bit of hyperbole in here to help us go, wait, travel light. Don't get too caught up in all the stuff you need to take. I'm going to take care of you. But more than anything, don't get distracted. There's going to be every kind of thing to distract you. Don't let excuses distract you. Don't let this tedious ceremonial greeting distract you. I don't think Jesus wants us to be rude. I just think he's being protective of the mission, right? So travel light, don't get distracted. And because it's amazing how even good things can pull us away from the God things. And Tozer, A.W. Tozer, if you've read any of his writings, I'm not going to quote him directly, but he over and over again warns the church that sometimes the greatest danger to our faith isn't sin, it's distraction. Sometimes that the greatest danger to our faith isn't sin, it's distraction. And I think it's hard because it's subtle, right? We need to be regularly abiding, John 15, in the vine, spending time with Jesus regularly in his presence, because there's seasons, right? Seasons where we press in heavy on something. And not everything is going to be an even perfect balance all the time. Sometimes people teach balance, and I get it, but sometimes there's a season. The next 2 weeks are so intense, travel, meetings, da-da-da-da. If that's the case, then make sure prayerfully you do that and submit all of it prayerfully. But also, agree with your family, if you're married and have kids and you're spending time with your family, like make sure that you, when you come back, there's extra time spent, you know, connecting. And, you know, I mean, that's not necessarily balance, but it's awareness, and then it's approaching it in a healthy way. So Jesus, I think, is challenging the disciples and us. What voices are louder than yours today? Like that distraction thing. I think that's a good question. I don't have that on the screen, but what voices are louder today in your life than Jesus's? As a matter of fact, I prayed that this morning. I woke up distracted, mentally distracted, spiritually distracted. And I just, as I journaled and I spent time with the Lord, I felt like he said, Kevin, write down what voices, what things in your mind, in your heart are distracting you from my voice. And man, when I prayed and I just wrote some things down, that I had a list of about 7 things, actually. A lot was distracting me, more than I realized till I wrote it out. But it was like I could just roll those over on Jesus. And I'm like, Jesus, here, these things are distracting me. And I just prayed, silence any voice that's not yours this morning, Lord. I just need you. I want you. And man, the peace came, the heaviness lifted off. And that's a regular thing we got to do. Yeah. So is there anything distracting you? Is there any voice distracting you? Is there any situation distracting you? Is there any worry or anxiousness? You know, pray and let gratitude flow and just roll it over on Jesus this morning. Just this day, as you're listening, whenever you're listening to this. And so, Lord, we just give you those things right now. I just pray you'd lift those distractions off. Lift those voices, like silence the voices that aren't yours. We need your peace. We need your shalom in Jesus' name. Amen. Next thought is this. Make a go-to prayer list. Make a go-to prayer list. Jesus says this. He says, pray. Pray about everything. All right? In Thessalonians, he talks about 5:17. He talks about pray without ceasing. Like, pray all the time about all of it, but especially about mission, especially about who God begins to lay on your heart to reach and connect with. Ask him who are you moving on, God? That I know in my spheres, like think about your spheres of influence from your close family, extended family, neighbors, the community you live in, the places you frequent, the job you're in, whatever spheres of influence, begin to write down some names. I put that up there. Make a go-to prayer list, the names and the places and even people that God brings. Ask God, bring people to mind that I should start praying for and watching out for and praying for an opportunity. I like how Brian Zand, I like this quote from him on the next screen. It says, prayer is not about getting God to do what we want, but about being transformed into people who want what God wants. So good. So when you pray consistently for people, what happens is you begin to notice them differently. When you pray consistently for people, you start to notice them differently. You start to see differently. That's that thing where Jesus, we're encountering Jesus on a daily basis. All of a sudden, our lenses begin to get more Jesus focused and Jesus perspective. And all of a sudden, we're seeing like Jesus sees more and more. And guys, there's no better way to live than that. There's no better way. And I come in and out of it. I feel like, man, this morning when I woke up, I was not encountering Jesus. I was encountering every other thought, voice, distraction, and that's painful. You have it, I have it sometimes, but let's remind ourselves, wait, we don't have to stay stuck there. We can get past that very quickly by getting our focus on Jesus. And as we get our focus on Jesus and we begin to see differently, we begin to pray for those people that God lays on our heart. The next thing is this, is that pay attention to where peace rests. Look at verses 5 and 7. Pay attention to where peace rests. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. And if those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. But if they're not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. It says, stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. This is interesting. This isn't a strategy, but it's discernment. This idea of the person of peace comes directly from Jesus' instructions here, right in these two passages. It's rooted in first century Jewish hospitality customs. I mean, in the ancient world, there weren't hotels and Motel 6s, and the travel, when you travel from town to town and place region to region, it required and depended on private homes offering hospitality. And when they did that, that hospitality meant, protection and provision and meals and shared reputation. And it was a serious relational commitment. So when people opened their home to you, it was a big, big, big deal. And rabbis of that day, their approach is going to be a little different than what Jesus is encouraging here, and I'll mention that in a minute. But when Jesus told his disciples to speak peace to a house, he was using this Hebrew idea of shalom, that word shalom, and it's a pretty all-encompassing word. About it's not just peace, it doesn't just mean like no conflict, but it's wholeness, it's harmony, unity, it's God's restoring rule and reign in that situation, in that home. It's a really robust word, shalom. And so Jesus is instructing, hey, when you go, if those who live there are peaceful, he's saying basically speak this blessing like a prayer almost over this home. And see how it's received. If they receive it, then remain. But if they don't, if it kind of bounces back, just move on. It's okay. And so that was kind of a readiness test. It was a watch the reaction, watch how it's taken in. And if it just bounces back, just move on. And so stay there, invest there. And it was something that the people, God's kids, you and I carry his peace, his shalom, and it's like it's amazing how we can give it away. And that's where I was talking to you about noticing where God's moving and what he's doing and the receptivity of the people. And so Jesus is really reshaping mission here, because he wasn't encouraging them to argue or strive, because as I mentioned earlier, the rabbis, their technique of evangelism, their technique of mission was to argue in the streets, to debate publicly, and it was more, to espouse all their theological knowledge in the public square. But Jesus is kind of flipping the script. He's kind of flipping the model. He's saying, notice where I'm already working. Speak my peace and see if it's received. If it is, stay there. Notice that. Pay attention to that and lean into that. And so he's flipping the script. I like his approach. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't use debate or he doesn't use those things, but he will sometimes. Apologetics and things. God is using all kinds of people in all kinds of ways. But in this situation, in this passage, this person, look for the person of peace, is really the heart of this. Because Jesus says, stay where peace rests. Don't force closed doors. Don't chase every opportunity. Just pay attention to where peace is received and stay there, lean in, welcome the conversation, let them create space, you create space, and watch what I do. And so then next is, and lastly is just this, look at verses 8 and 9. It says this, if you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you, heal the sick, tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. Wow. So, let me read it again. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, so this is just a town, like, you walk into whatever community you're in and or another town and it welcomes you, like, pay attention to the spiritual atmosphere in the town. And whatever home you go to, look for the person of peace. Notice if your God's peace is going to rest there. Eat what's set before you. Let people receive what's given. Don't worry about the particulars. Just receive it. Consider it a blessing. And then practically, it says heal the sick. I just love those three words. Heal the sick. This stretches me. And I'm believing that more and more you and I are going to be encounter magnets. That we're going to see more people healed, more people set free from demonic oppression, more people encountering Jesus in such a supernatural way that they can't help but wake up and notice that Jesus is there, that his presence is there, that their physical body is whole, their emotional state is changed, that his peace has infiltrated their situation and their circumstances in a way that they can't deny the reality of who Jesus is. whether they're sick physically, whether they're sick mentally, whether they're sick emotionally, whether they're depressed, whether they're anxious, whatever it is, they notice a difference when his peace comes and whoa. You guys, that's what being on mission is. And I I've seen some people healed. I've seen some people healed recently here in our church. And matter of fact, I got an appointment with a guy to talk about what God did in that area of healing. I can't wait to get the full story from him. But I'm just telling you, I want to see more. There's a lot more Jesus wants to do. And when you and I begin to see Jesus more and more clearly, it leads us to see people differently. It leads us to see and notice what God wants to do. Like, yep, he wants to heal them. And then you and I step out in faith, we attach faith to our prayers, and we boom, and God does a miracle. I mean, I've seen it a bit, but I want to see it more and more and more. Why? So I can go, wow, look how awesome God used me. No. I want to see people set free. I don't want to see people suffer and be hurting, and God wants to heal them. I want to see them healed, right? I know you do too. So one practical way we can do this is just to love, serve, and bless people. Because, you know, you might go, well, what if somebody's not ready to hear the good news of Jesus? Well, not everyone is ready for harvest yet. But we can plant seeds, we can water seeds, and just meet practical needs sometimes like that. So I think I put this on the screen. I can't remember if I did, but if I didn't, listen to this. It's just, what do I mean by love, serve, bless? Well, love, just listen to this, just love. Listen well, notice people, care genuinely. Like, really be more about them than you. Just love people. Listening is one practical way to do that. Listen to their heart, listen to their story, ask them questions about what they enjoy, what they like to do, where are you struggling, what's going well, all those questions. When you serve people, meet real needs, show up consistently, bless them, pray boldly, encourage freely, share hope when the door opens. I mean, you guys, I love how John Maxwell says this. He says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I believe it's always relational before it's informational. We don't need to rush the soil. God prepares the soil. He'll use us in part of the preparation of the soil. But God, you don't know what other people God's using, right? So we don't always know when the soil's ready, but God does. That's where that person of peace, they may not be a believer yet, but they're ready. Their soil is ready because God's been orchestrating other things. Stay faithful. Trust God with the growth, right? Plant, water, God brings the increase. And just this final thought is this urgency without pressure. That seems a little bit of an oxymoron, doesn't it? Urgent without pressure. You can have an urgency in your spirit, and I believe the more you do connect with Jesus and the more you regularly are spending time with Jesus, the more clearly you see Jesus, the more you're with him, being with Jesus, the more you become like Jesus, you begin to do what he did. You begin to sense the urgency of the mission, of the reality that there's so many people far from God. And it isn't a negative pressure. It's a Jesus burden. It's a Jesus urgency to go, I've got to get the good news out. But my job is follow what Jesus is doing and stay close to him. And when I do that, I begin to see the opportunities before me. So you start to see people differently. Interruptions become invitations. Ordinary places become holy ground. And God begins to open our eyes to this reality. And so I just want to wrap this up and I want to pray for us. And so if you in just a minute would just bow your heads with me, I want to slow down just a minute and bring this to a close. Would you do this even right where you're at and you're in your living room? If you're driving, please don't do this, but keep your hands on the wheel. But if you're listening to this and just open your hands in kind of that receptive mode and a posture of openness. And so Jesus, I just want to pray for us. Jesus, we don't want to live distracted lives. We don't want to miss what you're already doing around us. Would you open our eyes again clearly to see you? Help us see you more and more clearly every day. And as you do that, God, would you help us to see the people around us, in the places we frequent, in the neighborhoods we're in our own families, and the readiness of them. And God, bring even names to mind today. Bring places to mind. Show us where your peace already rests this week, and show us people that need an encouragement, need a good word, need the good news. We just say yes to joining you in this. We trust you with the outcomes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, look at this last verse on the screen. I think it's there. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If not, listen to this. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess you are with your faith and are saved. So if you don't know Jesus, pray that prayer. Just say, Jesus, forgive me. I love you. I believe in you. I want relationship with you. I receive your grace gift today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you make that decision, let us know. And if you have any prayer requests, write it in the chat, email River City Church at rivercitychurch.us and send us a note. We'd love to connect with you. Have a great rest of your day. Blessings.